Alrighty, so we kind of talked about this already. Dogs are nonverbal. Their communication is nonverbal, even when it comes to telling somebody, you know, you've got your controller dogs and whatnot. But essentially, most of their communication is pretty unconscious in that they are doing, they're not actually thinking about what they're doing, they're just doing what they do. Which is true of us too. You know, when you're talking with a friend, you're not actually thinking, what expression am I putting on my face? If you are, then you're acting, as opposed to being real. So most of the time, our expressions are pretty unconscious as well. Okay, so we were talking about reading dogs. Reading some dogs can be very difficult, particularly dogs that do not have bodies or faces designed for transparency. And you can see, what is it, the Chihuahua, what is this Chihuahua feeling? Scared. Yeah, that's right before he bit me. So yeah, he's definitely scared. And what is a chow feeling? Who knows? That chow could be going, I'm going to bite you in a second, or gosh, you're cute. We really don't know what the chow is feeling, because chows do not have very expressive faces, because of, in this particular case, he's got that smooshed in face with the eyes that are all the way set back. So there's, and the ears are, you know, kind of hidden in all the coat. So it's much harder to read the dog's expression. And this dog, what is this dog thinking? Probably, can I go home now? You know, but everything about this dog is droopy. And so that is very difficult to read. And Mastiffs, as I mentioned last week, Mastiffs as a whole are very difficult, can be very difficult to read. And what we also spoke about is the looser the body, the more relaxed and potentially friendly the dog is, the tighter the body, the more tense he is, the less friendly he or she is. And I'm gonna go on here. This is, look what we've got here. Yeah, yeah, this is their dog.
Not Sable,
Clover. That's Clover. Clover is the one with the behavior problems.
Yes.
So Clover is the reason that I got involved with her at all. And that is your dog's daddy, I believe.
Rubus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
The big boy?
Yeah. He's big, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they all look like they're pretty happy. And this dog that's here is not doing anything bad at all. This is a play behavior. And I know you probably know that, but a lot of times people don't know that. If they think if they show their teeth, that it's not a play behavior, but in this case, it's definitely a play behavior. Wolfy faces tend to be easier to read, prick ears, long nose, outlined mouth and eyes, whereas other dogs are not. Okay, I'm just whipping through here because it's kind of stuff we've already talked about a little bit, so, and we already talked about that. So I knew I had this someplace. These are the stress signals that we were talking about. Stress signals are like stiffness, stretching, yawning, dilated pupils, avoidance, hair loss, piloerection, sweating from paws. If you've seen dogs that sweat from their paws, they can't sweat from any place else. Pacing, sniffing at the ground, tongue flicks, drop tail, tail held under, penis crowning, genital checks, and urinating. And defecating for that matter. All of these things are signs of stress. So if you did not get your, these are all on your handouts. And didn't we already do this? This video? Okay. I'm getting all confused here. All right, so just stop me. No. So this is a sign of this is a dog from the shelter. And you're gonna see a lot of signs of stress here. So this is sniffing at ground. We call it going shopping. It means, oh my God, I'm just not looking at anything. I'm just. This ground is so interesting, and now. Well, what they're doing is trying not to look at the person. Okay, so then Tricia goes up to her and look at the body language. So see, you can see how far away she is. And she's really trying to stay far away, and of course Tricia picks up the leash, and I said, Tricia, you do this all video. but anyway, so. So now she's going to hold her. This is really important. This is how you hold a dog that is stressed out, is you make sure that you give them very little leash so that they can't bite you. But look at her eyes. She's so stiff. Her ears are back. Her tail is dropped. Is she going to bite? No. But is she thinking, you know, could she bite? Yes. So when you do an evaluation, one of the things you do is hug a dog. This was not a dog that we really felt comfortable hugging.
Stiff. Yeah.
You see this, one of the things that's so striking is that this dog's eyes are frightened. But you could look in another dog, they're wide open. But sometimes when they're wide open, you can tell that they're aggressive.
Yes.
And it's very...
Well, it's not just the eyes, though. It's the rest of the body that you're looking at. You're not even knowing that you're looking at the rest of the body. So, yeah, so everything about her is pulled backwards. Can you see that she? Everything is like here, pulled backwards, all the way from her eyes back. And all that is part of being frightened. If they're moved forward... And it's so subtle, it's so hard to describe, and yet you know it when you see it. The dog is moving forward, and you feel like you are being threatened because you're being threatened. Now, one of the things that this draws attention to is something that Temple Grandin talks about, which is when bad becomes normal. So we see this so often in shelters now that it has become like a normal type of thing to see. And yet this is pretty abject fear, isn't it? This dog is not comfortable at all. In this case, I do remember this dog. And in this case, the finder had been a veterinarian who brought the dog in. This dog was a favorite amongst the animal care techs because she did bond quickly to a particular two or three people. She obviously was not bonded to either Trisha or me when we were doing this video. But we decided that we did not want to go forward with her for adoption because she did not do well with strangers at all. So she did well once she knew somebody very well, but not with strangers. So we were, you know, kind of at a loss as to what to do with her because she wasn't bad enough to euthanize, but she wasn't good enough to go on the adoption floor. Luckily, the veterinarian adopted her and took her away. And I saw her like 2 years later, and I said, her name is Rogue. And she said, I'm the vet, I'm the person who adopted Rogue. And I said, oh, thank you so much. That was so wonderful that you did that because she was a difficult dog. And she said, oh, she's great. I said, she's fine now? She said, oh yeah, she's in the car. And I said, that's wonderful, I'd love to see her. So I came out and to see her in the car, and out jumped this dog with this body language. This whole, everything was exactly the same. And I said, is this how she behaved most of the time? And she said, oh yeah. So what had happened is she'd gotten used to this behavior. So it had been normalized for her. And so she, because Rogue was you know, very chronically stressed. She had chronic digestive issues, which is one of the things that happens with stressed dogs. And she never had a problem with recall. She stuck next to her owner like crazy. So these were all things that happen with fear. So you can get to the point where you find that bad, or in this case, unwanted or stressed or whatever, has become normal. And I think we've gotten to that state with a lot of dogs, particularly in the realm of health, you know, where, oh yeah, my dog died at 8 years of age from cancer. I mean, that really is so wrong, right? And yet it's something that has been normalized in our society. Here's another very stressed puppy. So she's pretty much frozen in place. She's checking everything out with her ears, but she doesn't really want to move. She had been like this for about a day by the time we did the video. Pardon?
Are those treats?
Yes, they're treats that she's not taking. You feel sorry for this dog?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you work in a shelter. You fall in love with these dogs that are chronically stressed. And now this dog did go up for adoption and it hopefully got placed happily ever after. I don't know. This was down in Santa Cruz. Are we going to go anywhere? Thank you. Okay, so now this is a dog that's stressed. This is Clover. So Leonberger with some fear-based reactivity, essentially. So thinking about those dogs that we just looked at, now look at this, okay? Look at her body language. What is she doing? This is an ugly Leonberger, and this is a dog she does not know over here. And so can you see that her body is actually stiff, a little bit stiff? She's moving, but her body is being held carefully. Can you see that? And there's your tongue. She's doing a tongue flip. And she is definitely not looking at that dog. So this is the dog who's got some chronic fear issues.
What about the tail?
Her tail is being held slightly down. Her tail naturally goes up and over.
She's got a
tail that goes around like this. So her tail is
looks like it's stiff.
It is. It's pretty stiff. So she did actually did very well at this beach, much better than the owner thought she was going to do. But she was a dog who we took her to a dog show at one point, and she did pretty well. I think it was the owner. This was very unexpected for this owner who is a breeder of Leonbergers and has not had to deal with this particular issue. So she wasn't looking for some of the signs. So essentially what we were doing is talking about watching Clover for the signs that she could have had that might have been, and she did a beautiful job with it. Okay, did we do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What did I do here? I didn't do this though, did I? This is interesting. This is what people think of as, corrections in a pack situation or whatever. This is a true, honest-to-God pack correction. This is a bunch of dog walkers in Europe somewhere, and they're all just kind of hanging out. And you're going to see some body language that is really fascinating between three dogs. I think there's two German Shepherds and a Husky, if I remember this right. Okay, so this is a fairly insecure, I think this is the insecure shelter. Or no, it's the Husky. The Husky's a butthead. So he's kind of picking on these as many dogs as he can. And he's going to pick on that shepherd over there, I believe. You can see the shepherds have as bad hips in Europe as they have here. Well, this is the way adult dogs are. Oh, he's going to pick on the lab.
What it looks like.
He's got the Husky under there. And this guy over there is going nanner nanner. And you know.
And look, now they're playing. Now the playfulness comes out.
The bully's good.
Yeah, the bully's been kept in check.
But look how long this is.
Yeah.
But that dog underneath isn't moving at all.
No, because he knows he's in trouble. He's gonna let him up now. All right, you can come up, but you'd be good. Okay. A little bit chastened.
Yeah. He goes over to them.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna do it again?
I don't know. In a while.
I think he's gonna be pretty irrepressible.
Could you play that again?
Sure.
So what kind of bites were those?
Huh?
The Husky was doing.
They would kind of bite?
Yeah, like if it wasn't disciplinary bites, it was...
No, the husky was playing, but being a butt, he's being a butthead. Okay. He was just trying to dominate all the other dogs.
Got it.
So he's like a kid who's got, you know, just kind of going up and going, yeah. That kind of thing. Okay. And then the big guy, the German Shepherd, is perfectly happy to put up with that for the most part, mm-hmm. right? But then it gets to the point where he's not only kind of keeping everybody nervous, but he's also starting to pick on the lab, and then the other German Shepherd, who's a nosy Parker, gets involved, and that's when it gets involved. It happens. But I mean, look at him over here, going, I get to do this. And we've all seen dogs in dog parks where one dog is picking on one other particular dog. And so this is probably one of those situations. And he's doing it because he can, because this guy is probably sort of submissive. And so he's just trying to do avoidance. Look at those hips, though. They're just horrible on that dog. Looks like a hyena's butt.
It's like
a hyena's butt.
Oh.
So, I mean, you can see that the husky is just keeps on going, look what I can do. So he's probably an adolescent, he's probably, you know, 1.5, 2 years old, something like that. But he thinks he's pretty hot stuff. And this juvenile German Shepherd is watching him like crazy, isn't he? And this guy is the guy with glasses on going, please don't do that. There we go. Everybody's going, yeah!
The dogs start playing with you.
So, you know, people are always talking about alpha rules and stuff like that. I just thought you probably ought to see a real one. This is what they really look like. But done in the right way. There's no injury, there's no trauma, nobody's traumatized. It's all just, you know, like, I'm controlling you, you have to stop.
Well, and...
It is like a timeout, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I've seen people talk about alpha roles, they're talking about pinning the dog.
They throw the dog over.
And then going for the dog's neck.
Yeah.
And this one is just kind
of... No, he's doing a standover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely doing
this. Just don't be a butthead on the standard.
Yeah.
Put yourself down.
This is great.
So if you ever want to do something like that to your dog, now you know how to do it. And I've done something like that. You know, you used to end up standing like this, and you're like right standing over the dog going, I am very powerful, and you are not. But you don't have to do it very often. It's not like something that you need to do.
I used to do it to my puppy. There's a puppy, Walter. He was very rowdy.
And so you do a standover?
I actually have to put it down with him. Because he would not want me to stand over him. So he would try to bite me on it. Right?
So what?
He would try to bite me on it, and he used to be a little bully at the dog park.
Ah.
So I had to kind of hold him down. And so he called down the spot.
You have to be careful, and you never do it to somebody else's dog. Ever. You'd never do it to someone. So, I had an episode that happened like this, which was one of the reasons why this was so interesting. We had a woman a family that had a wolf hybrid. And she wanted to get a husky. They wanted to get another dog. And the reason they wanted to get another dog is because the wolf hybrid, they had no relationship with this dog. The hybrid was like a hybrid. Ran everything. If you have a hybrid, you have to have a fence with a top on it because they can get out of almost anything. They had her around the house, and essentially she did what she wanted to do. So they wanted a dog that was a little bit more of a dog. So they had found this husky and they wanted to do an intro. So we went out back to the paddock, the paddock out in at MHS. And they brought the husky out there, and the two dogs just kind of floated around that big area for a little while. Nothing happened, and then my partner, who is just a real butthead herself sometimes, grabbed a ball to see what would happen if you increase the energy. Now, neither of these dogs is likely to chase the ball because they're huskies and wolves, but she threw the ball in between them, and that triggered the husky, who was a youngster, into running after the ball, and the hybrid took off after like a bat out of hell, and just took him down, just like that, just took him down, and he went down, and then she stood over him, and she stood over him, and she stood over him. And the owners were coming towards to tell her no. And both of us, my partner and I, both went, stop! You know, don't do anything, just stand there. And so they're standing there and they're going, well, but she's gonna kill him. No, she's not gonna kill him. Everything's gonna be fine if you don't get involved. Most fights are okay if you don't get involved. It's us getting involved that causes the issues. And so, because most of the time they're done, you know, they're fixed without blood. And so eventually, Every time the husky moved, she'd go. And so this poor husky's lying there like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna be dead here. And eventually the wolf just shook it off, just like that big shake off that they do, and walked away. And the people were frantic and they're like, what do you think? And we said, you don't need another dog. I'm sorry, but this is the kind of thing that's gonna happen in your house otherwise. Although, I mean, granted, it could be that she would establish a relationship and it would be instantaneous, and it would be just like that. But the fascinating thing about this particular case is that we didn't know it, but they had an e-collar on the dog, on the wolf. And the whole time she was standing over the husky, the guy was hitting the e-collar over and over and over again. And she just completely ignored it. And we're like, what were you thinking? What kind of an idiot were you thinking? He thought he'd make the dog scared and move away, and it would obviously didn't do that at all. So I just still can't believe it. So we've already done this. How did this happen?
I have a spray mark collar on my dog.
That's a chinella spray, yeah.
Yeah, so my neighbors won't, you know, kill me. And every when I get home, you know, I take the collar off. Every single time he does a genital check.
So he gets nervous every single time.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. It stresses him. And how big is he?
He's Maltese, 10 pounds.
And where are you putting it on or off?
Now the couch is, I've changed the living room, so he comes up and he pops up on the couch. I unhook it and it's genital check and it gets water.
Yeah, I don't think I'd worry about it very much because you're not standing over him or anything. You're doing your darndest to actually give him space while you're doing it. He just probably just stresses him out every time, just a little bit. And then just shakes it off and he goes, okay, I can cope with that. I mean, you remember that a little bit of stress is a good thing, right?
My coming home is stressing them or taking the collar off?
Taking the collar off. Yeah, just dealing with an amazing number of dogs do not like to get equipment being put on. And that includes anything from a collar to a harness or whatever. They just don't like to have it put on. Most of the time, not in your case, but most of the time it's because we get very close to them. We stand over them and then we put all this equipment on. So it's kind of this whole thing, you know. You have to remember what the dog is seeing. So this is what the dog is seeing, right? And as opposed to this is what I'm seeing, okay? And it's very different. So if you stand over a dog, if you get too close to a dog, you're going to stress them. If they trust you, then they'll get over that stress really fast. If they don't trust you, then they won't. So then shaking it off is a really normal behavior. I really think it's a normal behavior. So we're gonna go on to greeting, meet and greet. Okay, so some more body language stuff here. So you're gonna have to go through, because there was some repetition in there. But adult dogs go through a rather protracted greeting process, one that human beings do not actually sympathize with very much. First of all, if they go into a new area, they almost always do a perimeter check. So they're going to go all the way around the perimeter, sometimes two or three times. If everything works well in the meet and greet, it's about as interesting as watching a sailboat race, which is to say about as interesting as watching grass grow. You know, because it should be really low key. Everything is, and we don't do this, by the way. So which is one reason why our meetings don't always go that well, but this is what should happen in a meeting. So first of all, they do a perimeter check, then they do a lot of quick looks and then lookaways. That's very polite in the dog world, just to kind of check in, kind of like going to a bar. You know, I'm thinking there's somebody there that you might like, but you don't want to show them too much, so you don't look at them too much for too long. I don't know if anybody does that anymore, they just do Tinder. And then they will introduce themselves fairly briefly, and then more comfortably as time goes on. So it is a fairly protracted greeting behavior. Now it is not not as protracted as cats, who cats have to actually first do the little white flag, then they do, you know, they go through a long process of greeting, because cats are not social, not naturally social. So puppies have to learn this, because greetings puppies, if you notice the way puppies greet other puppies is by plastering themselves on top of them. So this is a process that has to be learned, and usually it can be learned by adult dogs just kind of giving them a glance or doing what we saw in the puppy video or whatever. But a lot of dogs, especially in our day and age, do not learn it at all. One of the reasons they don't learn it is because we interfere with it, and we don't let adult dogs tell puppies that they can't do something, or we let the wrong dogs tell puppies that they're doing something. So we get some overcorrection, where one dog is going to actually overcorrect and even hurt a young dog. It is not okay, really, to have strange dogs do corrections on a dog unless you know the dog, which means that they're not a strange dog, right? But, and I do think it's very relevant to remember that in a natural world, dogs would not have a constantly changing group of friends. They would have one group of friends, and that would be that. They wouldn't have a whole bunch of, you know, somebody else would be a friend after a while, somebody else. So many dogs don't ever learn how to do this. So this was a greeting at the shelter where two dogs, and I can't remember, one of these dogs was pretty iffy to begin with, so we were seeing how well the dog would do. And this is a meeting on leash, because nobody trusts dogs to meet off leash when we probably should, but we don't. So this dog here has been showing some fear. This dog here, actually, let me give you a little history. This is a very sweet dog, this one here, but she lived with another dog, a female dog, that they had a knockdown dragout battle in their backyard over a bone, and she got severely injured, and so she's lost her trust in other dogs. The other dog, this was one of those weird consults where I went in on the two dog behavior problem, and it was pretty bad, two female dogs hating each other. And then I met the dogs individually, and the other dog, not this one, but the other dog was so scary. I said to the owners, I said, you know this dog is dangerous, right? And they said, what? And I said, this dog is dangerous to people. And they said, oh, she always does this. She was on the other side of the room that I was in, snarling and watching me with her eyes. I have very rarely felt that intruded upon. I felt like I was being hunted by this dog who was just doing this kind of thing. And so I said, you know, your behavior mod that you need is with this dog is really scary. And I try to say it in as nice a way as possible without making the people get traumatized, but I was very frightened of this dog. And lo and behold, she bit somebody the very next week. And so they put her down. So now they're trying to get another dog. And so they wanted to make sure that this poor little traumatized dog could actually meet another dog. So that's what the backstory was on this dog. So you can see that she's very cautious, yeah? She's somewhat stiff. And of course it's in the shade. Get out of the shade.
Interesting.
Look at the hackles are up. Now she's actually doing some challenging with her tail pretty high. His tail is pretty high too, but he's a lot more interested. And she's definitely worried. Now you see what I'm trying to do is actually keep a really slack leash on the little brown dog as much as possible. Okay, so now what have we just done? It's turned into play. Could you see it's turned into play?
Yes. Yes.
they're not.
All right, you want to see that?
I saw the bass, but I thought, oh, they're both interesting. I would have totally read that.
So a nice low tail.
Okay, so here they're still being tense. And now, did you just see the tail wag there?
Yeah.
That just turned friendly. It just went from being not so friendly to friendly. And look at the ears are back. This is great play faces. They look how back of the ears are, and hers too. See how they're kind of pinned slightly backward? And those fast tail wags are really good things.
God, he's cute. Look at those ears.
I think just they just needed the time, and now they're going to do some perimeter checks on their own. Look at this smell over here. This is really nice.
She's so much more relaxed.
Yes, everything about her is much more relaxed.
Yeah.
But you can see how long it takes to actually start to play. They did that little thing which said, I think I like you and I think I like you. And now they're doing, you know, sniffing together. This is kind of mirroring behavior. Mirroring behavior is, we see that a lot. Another play, this is all play. There we go. Nice little play bows. And now we're playing. And I kept saying, don't you want this black dog? Don't you want this black dog? This is a great little black dog. You need this black dog. I don't even know what dog they picked, but boy did I like this coupling. This was just really a nice. And they said that this one, she had never played with the other dogs like that. Ever. So altogether, I mean, I've done some clipping on this video. Altogether, it took about 20 minutes for them to get to this stage. So it took a lot longer than you might think it would take. But then when they got here, they were just boom and groovy. And then every time they saw each other after that, they would be fine too. You know, once they would know that dog, it would be great. So yeah, those are good meet and greets. That was actually a pretty good one. Now here's a dog park meet and greet, which is, I can't remember, but it's not really all that great, okay. So this dog is now being prevented from coming in and doing what dogs do, which would be to do a perimeter check, right? Because everybody's standing at the gate, which they do at dog parks, and they're gonna allow, this guy's at least trying to stop things from happening. So this is what happens at dog parks all the time. Now these dogs are all stable and they're all perfectly capable of handling it. But if this dog was not a stable dog, if that dog was a fearful dog, then what do you think would happen? You'd get a fight, right? Because of this, because of the, I don't think there's anything else that happens here. Because this is the kind of thing that if you see that, okay, so that is a gang. All the current members of the dog pack at the dog park are greeting the new dog in town. And this is what dogs do. They all come over to that spot and they wait there. And that dog, sometimes I've seen those dogs not want to come in at all. They're like, oh my God, why would I want to come in here? So we're already at dog park setting things up for failure, as opposed to allowing the dog to come in and do a perimeter check and do that whole thing where I was talking about where they do these glances at each other and all that. Instead, you have this situation, which is not the best situation for dogs. Okay, so this one, this is more greetings. Somewhat tentative, fearful, or some female dogs, period, won't allow their butts to be investigated. They want to do all the investigation. They don't want to have anybody else do any investigation. We all seen that? Where one dog will say, I want to sniff your butt, but as soon as another dog does that, then they start to turn around and go, right. Yeah?
For my homework, that happened, but I wasn't close enough to see that she must have been female.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let this laminex
just keep on.
Yeah, she
keep
just
on
kept
on
rotating with him. I was like, oh, that's kind of strange.
Yeah. So this is actually one of my students who's in England. And she is, so this is her her German Shepherd, I believe, and somebody else's Rottweiler. And the two dogs are, is that him there?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just do this and then we'll
sure.
take him. Okay. But she's not going to let him.
It's not
this,
is that
the name of the
voice?
No,
I think it's because
they're both big. So she keeps telling him.
Yeah.
He's trying it.
He's so naughty.
He's so naughty.
I was telling my partner about doing this to her. She's like, oh, well, you know, I'm so sorry. But
you can see he really wants to play, right? And she's just not interested.
Sorry, what were you? He was saying something.
So the females and the males do the parameter check.
Yeah, all dogs do. All dogs tend to do it. Right. Adult dogs.
How's he voice?
Puppies don't.
My dog does that, but I thought at least being territorial or.
Now that's a perimeter check.
Check the feet.
Did she's sitting down now? Okay. Play with me, please.
It's amazing how
he's adorable.
You can read him with a tail.
Yeah. Yeah, if he didn't have a tail, it would be hard to read.
He's
yeah.
so much clearer.
He's a sweet dog. He just wants to play with her, and she doesn't really want to play with him.
She's so female.
She's
like, whatever.
Yeah. She's kind of doing this.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I
mean. Yeah.
If she didn't have a ball, I feel like she might be a little more.
She might have been but he had a ball too. They both had they could have traded balls, but yes, she might have been better. But apparently she, according to the owner, that she didn't really want to play with dogs. She would rather play with the ball. And that actually is fairly common too, with a lot of dogs, that they just want to do that. But I just thought that was so cute.
That's cute.
Okay.
We'll start the barking, the boom, 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 kind of talking, space invasion. It's usually directed towards us.
So what will happen is he'll have finished his bone, mm-hmm. and then after he's finished his bone, he comes up and he starts kind of
harassing
you.
Yeah.
And so what do you guys do?
Usually we put him in the bedroom. That's his safe zone.
And then when he goes in the bedroom, he's okay?
It escalates.
Like
each move is a little bit of it starts out. It's a little tense and it just builds quick to like a minute or 5 or 10 minutes.
And sometimes he's fine. So that's what's been really.
But sometimes he goes back into the bedroom and he gets bad there, and then that starts to escalate.
Yep.
Okay, does he ever go into the bedroom on his own when.
Yes.
And do you ever put him in there and close the door?
That's exactly what we do. But we do that because we picked up on the fact that if we left him out, he'd eventually stress himself out so much that he'd put himself
into
the bedroom.
But I mean when nothing's happening, when you're home working, do you ever put him in the room and then close the door?
Not close the door, but he does go in there.
No. Do you put him in there?
I do not.
Okay. It's a really big difference between doing something on his own and having you do it for him. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you're getting the feeling that he's just stressing out and that if you don't do anything, he's just going to get more and more stressed until he kind of gets really upset. And, and of course, it makes having guests so much fun.
And most of our friends are super dog people, so they don't, luckily, at least to our faces, don't say anything. You know?
They go home
but
and
I'm
go,
sure they're like,
oh,
man, Logan Mike's dogs are such a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
no, for us, it's exhausting because we know, he's obviously not comfortable, but we haven't been able to figure out in the last year. In his defense, we've moved and we haven't.
So we've really tossed his world.
Yeah.
So what's he like when you're home other than the noises?
Fine. He's a great dog.
Uh-huh.
He sleeps. He romps around with Dakota, and he sleeps.
He's really affectionate.
He does a regular dog step 80% of his time sleeping.
Yeah. Super snuggly. Very patient with the puppy. Like, he's a great dog.
Yeah, it's just this one.
Seems like a really nice dog.
Thank you, yeah.
Okay, does anybody here, you have any questions? No?
How much exercise does he get with his
question?
He gets more than I do. He gets at least a 2 mile walk, or we'll go to the park and we'll play fetch. We do a lot of toy play. We do a lot of, you know, the eye push and chase play. I mean, he gets a lot of interaction. He gets a lot of, you know, he'll get his snacks and stuff for his lunch or dinner or whatever it is in a snuffle mat. Like, I really try and do things to keep his brain busy.
He gets a what?
A snuffle mat. You never seen a snuffle mat? So it's a mat, and it has a bunch of fleece in it, and you put the kibble in it, and you can bury it. It takes him like 20 minutes, which for him is a really long time. So it makes him slow down.
So he sniffs it out, and then he goes and gets it?
Yeah.
But it's called a snuffle mat.
It's called a snuffle mat, yeah.
All right. And so he, does he have a fairly rigid routine?
Yeah, they both do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about their day.
So they wake up first at 4, and they go out and go to the bathroom, and then they come back.
4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, that's a whole different discussion we can have with Mike, because he wakes up at the butt crack of dawn.
So it's you doing
it. Yeah.
Dogs get up when I get up.
Yes, they get up, they go
back to bed.
And then they come and they'll re-wrap with me until about 5:30, and then we wake up, they go back outside, and then I get their breakfast and stuff ready, and they eat probably like around 6.
Uh-huh.
And then he re-racks because 80% sleep. And then he'll wake up and play with Dakota. And then usually in the morning, I'll take them for the walk. The walks are either in the morning or in the afternoon, depending on who walks them. And then that wipes him out because he's, you know, 8. So then he sleeps the rest of the day until Dakota gets his lunch. So then he has to have a snack because he doesn't understand why he can't get something too. So he'll get a snack.
He's allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
Garbage disposal. So they'll get their snack. He'll get a snack, Dakota gets his lunch, and then they both go back to sleep until Mike comes home. And yeah, then we romp around together, the four of us, and then it's bedtime after dinner.
Do they ever tell you when it's time to go eat, or do you tell them?
No, they don't tell me.
You tell them?
I tell them, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the behavior started right after, the behavior got worse.
Worse.
And so do you think that the trauma had something to do with it?
Oh, I think for sure he has PTSD.
I don't.
Really?
I don't.
So you don't think it's a transfer?
I think he figured out how to get a lot of attention.
Awesome. So he's worked me. Great.
Yeah.
Here I am psychoanalyzing.
Yeah.
It's totally worked
I think
me.
He's kind of going, oh, I like this.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. When did you start giving him these phones? Was it when, after his surgery? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Because
I'm just wondering.
You know, I think that inadvertently you.
I did this.
You did this. Yeah.
Great.
No,
maybe
I'm,
this isn't the right avenue for him.
No, if you start just having bad, you'll actually see him.
Okay.
That what happens is, and this actually is really common, because what happens is that when a dog is injured or very ill, they get a lot of attention. A lot of attention they never normally get. And Michael is like,
no! Okay, so true story. So when I got Jack, I was living by myself. Mike was working in San Diego. So he's my first dog. I put him in the bed with me. So now we have an 80-pound dog in the bed. And so he can't, when he had his accident, he couldn't jump up onto the bed. So we moved into our guest room and put the mattress on the floor, and we slept on the floor with him while he
You did.
We did.
You are really nice people.
So that's what he looks like that is because
he's yep,
3 months
on the floor.
With Jack.
You are a good husband.
Yeah.
But
so yes, he did get a lot of coddling.
He got a lot of coddling when
yeah.
he went
and
we have a tendency to try to fill their needs. Even,
oh yeah.
Even before they have the need, we tend to try to fill it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the dog learns, which dogs are really good at learning, that they can be pitiful and that they can get more attention. And so I think what happened is he got used to it. And then a lot of you moved, and mm-hmm. so other things happened, and they kind of just piled on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, as far as he's concerned, he doesn't have to entertain himself. You're going to entertain him. And when people come over, you're not entertaining him.
Right.
But he can't relax because he is an anxious dog. I mean,
right.
I'm not certainly not disputing your thing about Sandy's an anxious dog. He's definitely got an anxiety.
Right.
But so he wants the attention, and so he's going to tell you he can get it.
Uh-huh.
Now we have to figure out a way to stop him. But does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Okay. I mean, because if you think that he's traumatized, then I'm happy to go back on it. But for me, this is
kind of... I trust your judgment.
This is kind of, you know, he has learned, this is a learned behavior. What is learned can be unlearned.
Okay, good.
And I don't think you need to worry about his psyche as much as you need to just worry about getting some of the behaviors under control. And then getting him to relax into those behaviors again.
Okay.
So, yeah, you look like you're thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking that the more relaxed he gets, the more his psyche is going to get in order.
So I couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
The more relaxed he gets, the more his psyche will get in order.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll become more normal.
Yeah, the more he understands that he doesn't rule the world, the actually more relaxed he'll get. The less anxious he'll get. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Because if you know what your world is going to be, you have a tendency to be able to relax into it a little bit more. So I think that's probably going to be fairly important for him.
Okay.
Now, me saying this is easy. Doing something about it becomes harder, particularly when you're talking about this worst of all behavior problems, barking.
Yeah.
Because barking is invasive. It is, it sets us on edge. You can talk about trigger stacking.
Yeah.
You know, because when a dog starts barking, it just gets worse and worse, and you will do anything to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Aspen, we threatened her with, you know, decapitation.
Mike says he's going to put him outside with a free sign around his neck.
Yeah.
That's what he tells him. You're going outside with a free sign.
Because you stop liking the dog. Because they bark at you so much and they do all kinds of stuff. So it's a big problem. I don't want to downplay the problem at all.
Right.
All I want to do is to say, this is not him being anxious. That's not the issue.
Okay.
The issue is that he thinks he gets attention when he wants it.
Right.
So I think what we're going to have to do is start setting some boundaries. And that those boundaries might be difficult to do because they may end up getting... You know, you may get an extinction burst.
Mm-hmm.
What an extinction burst is the behavior gets worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I always call it like, you know, kicking the Coke machine. After you put your dollar in, it doesn't give it back to you, and so you shake it and you kick it, and then you move.
Okay.
So this is the kicking the Coke machine.
Okay.
All right. So I can't say for sure that it's going to happen, but it often does.
Okay.
So let's see, let's take it the easiest way possible first. The first thing I would do is I would probably put him in the bedroom every day for like 3 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Try not to take him out when he is barking, but for the time being, let's do some non-contingent reinforcement. For the time being, what I would do is say, okay, you're going in there, is it like her going in there, you know, just you're going in there, and if you bark, you don't come out, and if you don't bark, you don't come out. It doesn't, your vocalization doesn't matter.
Right.
So, because he's got the vocalization issue, I might even just put him in there for 5 minutes, maybe put a little counter on it, and then even if he's barking, you let him out, you don't pay any attention. When you put him in there, you make it be, you can give him a goodbye gift, you can give him a cookie, something like that time. But then when you let him out regardless of what he's doing. We would prefer that he weren't barking.
Uh-huh.
But this is not, and this, by the way, is very unusual. This kind of behavior mod is unusual. but it's become one of the things that you have to do with dogs that bark, because trying to catch them when they're not barking can be really, really hard. Really, really hard. So you literally have to do a kind of, no, you're just doing it regardless of what you're doing. Your behavior is not going to impact my behavior. And it's actually fairly high level behavior model. You don't see it all that often.
Yeah.
So, but I would do that, and I would probably do it 2 or 3 times a day.
Okay.
Very cheerful, very like, no, I'm sorry, this is what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No. And it can start ranging. You can start going from 5 minutes up to half an hour, maybe every other day or something like that. Probably didn't have to go much more than that.
Okay.
Although, depending on your guests or whatever, if you want to put them in there, because you're probably going to end up having to come back in there with the guests.
Yeah.
And you can also do a crate if you want to, or have a big crate.
Yeah,
okay. And that's better than fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a crate. Okay,
don't
feel guilty.
Crates and Jack did not go well.
Yeah, he probably got that anxiety that doesn't says that I want to go into a crate.
Yeah. I would put him in and go to work and then start out on one side. This was before I was working from home, and start out on one side of the room and I'd come home and he'd
be gone. Yeah.
He would have moved all
the way. So definitely has
not. Yeah.
So, okay, so there's that. And then I probably would want to, anytime he, this is going to be hard, let me see if I can do this. In a given day, does he do this attention barking very often? So it only happens when visitors are over?
Don't you feel like it only happens when people come over?
No. I feel like it happens occasionally.
Occasionally.
Like maybe once a week.
Okay.
It's usually when we're like busy actively doing something, like cleaning the house or something.
You guys together,
yeah,
doing something.
That's very
probably too loud.
Not inclusive of him.
Yeah. Okay. So the best thing you can do, and I don't know if it's possible, so you have to think about it. The best thing to do is to literally respond as though he just asked you to leave him.
Okay.
So you just, he starts to bark, and usually when they bark, this kind of barking, they're looking at you.
Yes.
And so he barks, and you just go, phooey, or whatever, and you walk out the door, and you leave him there, and you close the door, count to 10, come back in again. Again, this is not contingent on him barking or not barking.
Okay.
This is what happens. You do not pay any attention to him when he's barking.
Right.
Absolutely not. And, you know, so again, this can be really difficult to do because of the whole barking issue. Now, you can do, this is a really fun trick. This one you might like. So, you can actually set it up so that you're doing something where you think he might do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he doesn't, that's wonderful. But if he does, if you put a leash on it. And so he starts to bark. And you go, oh, did you want to come outside? And you take him to the door, you open the door, and you put him out, and then you close the door with him on the outside and you on the inside. And you count to 10, and you do this again, and you put him back in, he barks at you again, oh, you're super fine. Oh, what a good boy.
I think he would totally get that, don't you?
Yeah, it usually takes maybe,
yeah,
maybe 3 to 4 repetitions.
Yeah.
And then the dog is like, God, you people are stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called the stupid parent trick.
Okay.
Because
they forgot themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like, oh, well, that must be what you wanted. So the dog's like, you didn't know I wanted attention? What are you, some kind of idiot?
Right.
And so what you're doing is actually telling him that it's barking not only doesn't get what he wants, it actually gets him what he doesn't want.
Okay.
Okay.
And
when you put it out and it is on a leash on, You don't give him very much leash.
Okay.
Okay. It, by the way, is a perfectly wonderful way to teach a permanent way to the door as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you have dogs that go through doorways, and you let them out first, and then you don't come out with them, after a while they're like, well, I'm not going to leave until you go.
Right.
Permanent way.
Okay.
It's a really nice way to do that. So you can do that with Dakota, just the Dakota have a tendency to
Well, because he's so big.
Yeah.
You know?
He is big, isn't
yeah.
It's like having a miniature horse in your house.
That's what our friends were saying last night. They're like, you have a mini horse in
yes,
your house.
Yes, you definitely do.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that one, and that is a, you know, that's kind of a, if he does that, particularly when you guys are alone together, not when you have guests.
Okay.
And I would actually, you could even do that to a certain extent after you've set this behavior that you want to go outside, and after you've actually put him in the back room. You could, if you had some really good friends, you could try that with the really good friends that are there. You could try the stupid parent trick and see if it helped.
Okay.
But the thing is that what you've been doing, without realizing it, is you have been actually giving him what he wants.
Right.
Even though you're putting him in the back room in the end, you've given him, going and all that kind of stuff, because he, you know, to stop him from being obnoxious.
Right.
And my goal would be to stop from having to give him the bone.
Uh-huh. Ours too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're going to get that right away. I think he's got to have all these behaviors first.
Okay.
So then the other thing is, really, for the next 5 days, really, really analyze whether you're doing things because they're just a routine, and what the dog's behavior is like when you are doing it. So for instance, you're gonna get ready to make breakfast or dinner or something like that. Are they ready for it? I mean, have you already primed them that it's gonna happen at 5:15 or something like that? And are they already kind of going, I'm hungry and all that? Or are they completely relaxed and lying down on the floor and not paying any attention to anything you're doing?
I think Dakota,
the program.
Yeah, Dakota's on the program. And
gotta,
so then naturally he's on the program.
So you've got to reprogram.
Okay.
And so our criteria in our house is that all dogs have to be calm. All dogs have to be lying down and relaxed when we start fixing food. Now once we start the fixing of the food thing, they can get all excited, and that's perfectly fine. But the beginning part of it is that, so that means you have to shift it around. You can't do it the same time every day.
Right.
It you know, there's a morning meal, lunch meal for Dakota.
Yeah.
And then there's evening. And they need to be the ones that are responding to your cues rather than you responding to their cues.
Okay.
So, as you might know, I'm not that much of a cooker trainer. And
right.
The reason I'm not is because I think we can get kind of hooked on that, and we think that I'm training somebody to do something, and or training a dog to do something, and really they're training me.
Well, I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah.
So you don't need any kind of pleasure stuff with this. This is big, as Karen Pryor used to say, this is the time where you throw food at the dog rather than trying to do anything. You're not thin slicing anything.
Right.
Right?
Not
these are
anything
big,
down.
Big behaviors.
Yeah.
And you're trying to change attitude.
Right.
And you try to do the same thing when we come home to the door. I mean, for me, when we come home, we walk through the dogs. We don't greet them at the door because greeting, the dogs are hardwired to greet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always going to go nuts when you come home if you stop at the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, I used to, with my big dogs, my Rotties,
yeah.
Used to walk through the house all the way through to the backyard and outside the backyard and pretend to throw something in the trash. By the time I came back in again, they had forgotten that they were going to leave me because I'd already been there for, you know, 10 minutes.
Right.
But you might want to consider doing something like that. I would like to see them drop down in their perceived importance.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes total sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, anybody who's going to put their bed on the floor for the dogs.
You're like, I just shared a lot about the kind of people we are now.
Well, honestly, that's really nice. You know, it really is. You're good people, and you care about your animals, and you don't have human kids, and you have dog kids, and I think that's great. I have no problem whatsoever, but you just have to be cognizant of who's running things and who isn't running things.
Right.
And if you're a nurturing person, which you probably are,
yeah.
Then our tendency is to be just a little bit more, maybe give them a little bit more than they need.
Smother mother. Yeah.
Helicopter mother.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
So you're saying that they should respond cheerfully, or
cheerfully.
Not say anything at all, and then like if the barking starts, cheerfully say something?
Oh yes, you can be quite cheerful about the whole thing.
The house that we're staying at, I relate to, and I don't have exact temporary. They had back surgery, they had things, and Nick, the little, the client calls me shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear. But she's from New York. He's spicy, and he'll be like, wah, 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 and just do it forever, and he does it for attention. And I'll tell him, I'm not going to respond to you like that, but I don't say it cheerfully, I just go, no.
Oh, mostly it's no more. Yeah. Most of the time, the best thing to do is just to walk away, not even to say anything at all.
Okay.
Just to completely ignore the fact that they're making any noise.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you respond at all, you are giving them some attention.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, so it's almost always better just to kind of act as though. Having said that, though, an awful lot of people can't. It's really difficult to... it's really difficult to ignore barking.
That's their little look, so I can understand. I mean, my cat whines, but I treat him to walk.
Yeah.
But he whines because I treat him.
Yeah, but you treat, I mean, we treat our animals like babies. We do treat our animals like babies, and that, again, it's not a crime. All it is when they start acting like it, we shouldn't be surprised. You know, because they're smart.
Yeah.
They figure out how to get attention, and they, like in the case of a lot of dogs, what they figure is, you know, I can get better attention when there are people over because you're going to give in to me faster.
Yeah.
You know, because you have
I know,
don't
you
feel
duped?
A little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, what?
I said I feel duped.
You feel duped. He's not duping me. He's a nice dog. He's just doing what dogs do. Dogs do what works. If it works to bark and they get attention, they'll bark. If
yeah.
it works to not feel good, they'll do that.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, it gets them what they want to do.
They'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Anything else that's going on with you that you got?
Well, nothing so far with Dakota yet. I'm sure that will change, don't you?
Yep.
But so far, he's just doing normal.
Good. At 8 months, an awful lot of problems usually start, so you're good.
Yeah. Like I said to you before, the training's tough with him, but I think that's just him.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about him?
Not really. That's the big topic.
Yeah, the only other thing that happened that Mike will tell you that, like I said before, put me in the trees is Dakota's sister Bamboo took a ball out of his mouth.
The ball reacted.
And so, well, I don't know, based on what we learned today. So, I thought that he totally was. So, Bamboo, Jack has those orange chucket balls that he lives for. And Dakota's not into balls at all. So, it's never been a problem for the two of them. But Bamboo, I used to take the three of us would meet at a park. I'd throw the ball for Jack, the other two would romp around. And Bamboo one day decided that it would be a really good idea to take the ball straight out of Dakota's mouth. And he, out of Jack's mouth, and Jack went rawr, towards her and bit her tongue, split it, because she wanted the ball and he didn't want her to have it. And so I went from thinking like, oh, I have this really great acclimated dog to, oh my God, now I have a dog with a bite record. But now after today, I'm kind of thinking it was just one check. I think he just happened to grab her tongue and split it, and it was more of a disciplinary bite, more so than an actual going after.
Yeah, because he's not used to dogs trying to do that.
Right.
And they're not used to trying to do it.
Right.
So he probably had an overreaction.
Yeah.
And since he is an anxious dog, he's more likely to overreact.
Right. And in hindsight, I'm sure he was giving me signs that I wasn't
probably
listening to.
Yeah.
And
at times, you know, bleed a lot.
Well, now it didn't heal.
It's really split?
It's totally split.
Oh my goodness. It's a snake.
It's a snake. Yeah. And she's fine. And her dad actually told me, which made me, I mean, I didn't say this to him, but in my head it made me feel better, that the next day or like a few days later, she did the same thing to another dog.
Mm-hmm.
Took the ball out of his mouth.
It's a very normal puppy behavior.
Yeah.
And there's been no reason for her not to unlearn it. A lot of puppies will do that because they would do that for their moms. They would actually get food from their moms and all that kind of stuff. And if their mom is a certain kind of dog, she'll tell them not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of, if it's got the same mom.
Yeah, it's Dakota's sister.
Dakota's sister? What's her name?
Sydney.
I don't know.
Oh, Sable?
Sable is a really, really, really tolerant mother.
Yeah, she
who
is.
Who never told the puppies off.
Maybe she never did.
No.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't know that they're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
So this was miscommunication.
Okay.
It did teach you that he overcorrects.
Yeah.
And that is, but he's an older dog.
Right.
So, I mean, he had never had an opportunity to correct another dog.
No.
How is he supposed to know?
You're right, but I'm telling you, I was in the,
bet you were.
I was, yeah.
Of course,
besides
and tongues bleed so much.
It was bad. I mean, you can giggle about it now, but I was genuinely upset. Because I just couldn't believe that he did that, and then I blamed myself because I didn't read him, and, you know. I'm sure he was
try not to sweat it, but I would definitely say that, you know, it's something that you need to be aware of.
Oh, yeah.
That he will, because he's good when you take the ball out of his mouth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is dog possessiveness. It's a normal behavior, but it also is the fact that he does not have the experience to be able to just bark in a dog's face to tell him not to do it,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't have enough experience
not to take
something out of another dog's mouth.
Yeah.
An adult dog would never do that.
Right.
Now, having said that, I had two male Rottweilers. We had one as an adult and one came in as a puppy. And for the younger dog's entire life, he could take a ball out of the older dog's mouth. Because he still had his puppy privileges.
Well, he's like that with Tony.
Yeah.
Tony gets away with quite a bit.
Yeah,
and I know Jack went to
Tony. Tony might be able to do that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
It may very well be able to do it, but no other dog will be able to.
Right, no.
So, you know.
Just their
reaction. Yeah, so we removed all of the orange balls. They used to just sort of be out.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
I totally took them away. Balls. They only come out when...
No, because, I mean, as long as Dakota and you have not had any problems with it.
No, Dakota.
Yeah, I would leave them out.
Okay.
I don't think it matters that much. In fact, if you put them away, that might actually increase their value. And I'm not sure you want to increase their value.
No.
So I'd probably, you know, put a bunch out. So that there's nothing for you.
Yeah, we have like 30. So.
Yeah. 30 of them. I want to live at your house. Oh my God, I want to live at your house.
Yeah.
Okay, any final comments from the gallery over here? Yes.
I just want to say thank you so much for bringing him in and letting us watch. And I know for my dog, I'd be like worried and anxious and all that other stuff. And so I'm just really grateful that you let us have this.
Yeah. Of course. I feel like we all can benefit.
I
figured his problems weren't, but I wasn't the only one who had them.
No.
So,
no.
Yeah.
And actually,
it's
a really great topic. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
we
you.
Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And now he's finished with his bone. He's going, oh man, this has been a good bone.
Yeah.
He's very serious.
Probably got pretty nice, pretty clean teeth, huh?
Yeah. But that said that they're some of the nicest teeth she'd seen for 8-year-old.
That's all because of raw bones.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yep.
That and the police.
I have another question. How is he in the car?
Great.
The noise and stuff doesn't bother.
Well,
so
when we first got him, we lived in the city, and so that's why I thought maybe when we moved up here to Marin that.
Well, sudden environmental change, a lot of changes that actually can increase, and it definitely does increase reactivity. If everything is really quiet,
So I thought it had kind of backfired from coming from an environment that had like constant noise to then going to
it's
quiet.
Peaceful up there.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really
very
quiet.
Very nice.
Very quiet. Yeah. So, well, thank you.
All right.
I don't
thank
feel
you.
Like I have such a fucking daughter.
You don't. Oh, and we expect to get, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you an update.
Thank
you so much.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you guys. That's
thank
it for
you.
This
thank
class.
You.
I hope that Trapper Home is okay.